आकाशवाणी प्रेजेंट्स मॉर्निंग न्यूज। गुड मॉर्निंग, आई एम सायरा मुज्तबा। द हेडलाइंस: प्राइम मिनिस्टर नरेंद्र मोदी टू होल्ड टॉक्स विद फिनलैंड्स प्रेसिडेंट अलेक्जेंडर स्टॉब इन न्यू दिल्ली दिस मॉर्निंग। फाइलिंग ऑफ नॉमिनेशंस फॉर 37 राज्यसभा सीट्स अक्रॉस 10 स्टेट्स टू एंड टुडे। पोलिंग बिगिंस इन नेपाल टू इलेक्ट अ न्यू पार्लियामेंट। U.S. Senate backs President Donald Trump's military campaign against Iran. Rise in our dialogue to commence today in New Delhi. And in ICC Men's T20 World Cup, India to take on England in second semi-final in Mumbai this evening. And now the news in detail. Prime Minister Narendra Modi and President of Finland Alexander Stubb will hold discussions today on strengthening bilateral cooperation across a wide spectrum of areas. They will also exchange perspectives on regional and global issues of mutual interest, including cooperation in multilateral fora. Several MOUs will be exchanged after the talks. The Prime Minister will host a lunch in the honour of the visiting dignitary. Mr. Stubb arrived in New Delhi yesterday on a four-day state visit to India. He was received by Minister of State for External Affairs Kirti Vardhan Singh. President Stubb was accorded a ceremonial welcome and a guard of honour at the airport. A report.
This is the first visit of President Stubb to India in his present capacity. He is scheduled to meet President Draupadi Murmu today at Rashtrapati Bhavan. Vice President C.P. Radhakrishnan and External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jaishankar will call on the visiting dignitary. President Stubb will be the chief guest and keynote speaker at the 11th Raisina Dialogue 2026 in the National Capital this evening. India and Finland share warm, friendly and multifaceted relations rooted in shared democratic values. Finland is a valued partner for India in the European Union and in the Nordic region. The visit of President Stubb, following the recent visit of Prime Minister of Finland Petteri Orpo to India for the AI Impact Summit last month, reflects the shared commitment of both countries to further strengthen bilateral cooperation across a wide range of sectors and to deepen people-to-people linkages. After his engagements in New Delhi, the President of Finland is scheduled to visit Mumbai. Anupam Mishra, Akashvani News, Delhi.
Filing of nominations for 37 Rajya Sabha seats across 10 states will close today. Scrutiny of nomination papers will be taken up tomorrow. Candidates will be able to withdraw their nominations till 9th of March. Polling for these seats will be held on 16th of March and results will also be declared on the same day. Polling has begun for parliamentary elections in Nepal. This is the first election after youth-led protests last September that led to the deaths of 77 people and forced the government to resign. More from our correspondent.
The voting process for House of Representatives member commenced nationwide at 7 a.m. Voting is being conducted in all 77 districts across the country in a single phase. A total of 65 political parties are contesting elections. In the first-past-the-post system, there are 317 male candidates and 388 female candidates and one other, making a total of 3,406 candidates in the electoral race. Meanwhile, under the proportional representation system, 3,135 candidates are contesting, which includes 1,363 men and 1,772 women. Shweta Singh for Akashvani News, Kathmandu.
U.S. Senate has backed President Donald Trump's military campaign against Iran. Senators voted to block a bipartisan resolution aiming to stop the military campaign without authorization by the Congress last night. The Senate voted 53-47 not to advance the resolution, largely along party lines. More from our correspondent.
Debate about Trump's buildup of military assets in the Middle East and American and Israeli strikes on Iran has centered on whether Trump is pulling the country into another forever war, like the long conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. Opponents of the resolution rejected this, insisting that Trump's action was legal and within his right as commander-in-chief to protect the United States by ordering limited strikes. The vote came amid mounting frustration among Democrats who say Trump has increasingly sidelined Congress on matters of war. During Trump's second term, the U.S. military has struck seven other countries without authorization from lawmakers. The War Powers Resolution, passed in 1973 in the aftermath of the Vietnam War, was designed to check precisely that kind of unilateral action. It requires the president to notify Congress within 48 hours of introducing U.S. forces into hostilities and bars armed forces from remaining in such conflicts for more than 60 days, with a possible 30-day extension without a declaration of war or specific authorization for the use of military force. It also allows any member of Congress to force a vote on a resolution directing the removal of U.S. forces. Ashish P. Abraham, Akashwani News, Delhi.
Conflict in West Asia has further intensified as the Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, dismantled dozens of assets belonging to Iran's ballistic missile array, including missile launchers and defense systems deployed in the area that constituted a threat to the Israeli Air Forces. U.S. Air Force is also continuing to execute a high volume of airstrikes into Iran. The U.S. Central Command said that the forces have struck or sunk over 20 Iranian ships, including a Soleimani-class warship that U.S. struck yesterday. U.S. also used a long-range precision strike missile for the first time during Operation Epic Fury. President Donald Trump has said U.S. and Israel were in a strong position in their war with Iran, vowing that they would continue forward against the Islamic Republic. Mr. Trump also said that Tehran's arsenal of ballistic missiles was being wiped out rapidly.
Tremendous progress that's being made. Their missiles are being wiped out rapidly. Their launchers are being wiped out. They're attacking their neighbors. They're attacking their, in some cases, allies, or not so long ago allies, a nation that was out of control.
United Arab Emirates, or UAE's Ministry of Defense, said that its air defense system successfully intercepted 3 ballistic missiles, detected 129 drones, of which 121 were intercepted, while 8 fell within the territory of the state yesterday. Qatar's Ministry of Interior has said that the relevant authorities are evacuating residents living in the vicinity of the U.S. Embassy as a temporary precautionary measure. Suitable accommodation has been provided to maintain public safety. Saudi Arabia has also said that its air defense system intercepted and destructed 3 drones in east of Al-Kharj Governorate. Earlier, 3 cruise missiles were intercepted outside Al-Kharj city. Bahrain's Interior Ministry said that the Director of Operations Management chaired the emergency meeting of GCC countries at the level of officials from emergency and crisis management departments and operations rooms. On the other hand, Iran is also continuing its airstrikes in the region. This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download the News on AIR app. Welcome back. You're listening to Morning News. Air India has announced that they will deploy additional capacity flights to Toronto, Frankfurt and Paris in response to high demand amid the ongoing situation in West Asia. In a social media post, Air India informed that from today till the 11th of this month, they will operate 3 additional flights between Delhi and Toronto. The flight carrier also noted that they have added 3 flights between Delhi and Frankfurt and 1 flight between Delhi and Paris from 7th to 10th of this month. Air India noted that these additional services will provide more flight options to travelers on these select routes with convenient connections beyond Delhi to destinations across India and Southeast Asia. The return of citizens from Maharashtra stranded in the conflict-affected West Asia has begun. Of the 184 residents of Pune district who were stranded in Dubai, 111 have safely arrived in Pune. District Collector Jitendra Dudi informed that the flight schedule of 19 citizens has been rescheduled while efforts are underway to bring back the remaining 54 people. In Kolhapur, 23 citizens have reached home safely and another 80 are expected to arrive in Kolhapur from Dubai tomorrow. Meanwhile, 23 citizens from Latur are still stranded in the Gulf countries. Chief Minister Devendra Fadnavis has assured in the Legislative Council that all stranded citizens from Maharashtra will be brought back safely. The 11th edition of Raisina Dialogue, India's flagship conference on geopolitics and geoeconomics, will commence in New Delhi today. The 3-day conference brings together global leaders, policymakers, and experts to deliberate on pressing international issues and strategic cooperation. The 2026 edition is centered on the theme Sanskar, Assertion, Accommodation, Advancement, reflecting the current global moment. It's being organized by the Observer Research Foundation in collaboration with the Ministry of External Affairs. A report.
Instituted in 2016, the annual Raisina Dialogue has emerged as India's leading platform for discussions on international affairs. The forum serves as a platform for debate and cooperation on issues shaping the international order. The MEA has confirmed that multiple high-level delegations from across the world will attend the Raisina Dialogue. Bhutan's Minister for Foreign Affairs, Leon Podinana Dungyel, arrived in India yesterday to take part in the country's flagship geopolitics and geoeconomics forum. Finnish President Alexander Stubb will also attend the Raisina Dialogue as the chief guest and keynote speaker. The United States will be represented by Deputy Secretary of State Christopher Landu. Priya Mondal, Akashwani News, Delhi.
In the Democratic Republic of Congo, death toll from a landslide at a coltan mining site in eastern region has surpassed 200, including around 70 children. The landslide triggered by heavy rains occurred on Tuesday at the Rubaya mining area in North Kivu province, burying miners, food vendors and other small-scale traders. The victims were mostly artisanal miners who exploited coltan in the mine. In ICC Men's T20 World Cup, India will face England in the second semi-final at the Wankhede Stadium in Mumbai this evening. The match will start at 7 p.m. Indian time. Earlier yesterday, riding on an unbeaten century by Finn Allen, New Zealand defeated South Africa by 9 wickets in the first semi-final clash at Eden Gardens in Kolkata. Chasing a target of 170 runs set by South Africa, New Zealand overhauled the score in just 12.5 overs, losing only 1 wicket. New Zealand had won the toss and opted to bowl first. South Africa scored 169, losing 8 wickets in the stipulated 20 overs. Finn Allen was adjudged the player of the match. The winner of today's match will face New Zealand in the finals on Sunday at the Narendra Modi Stadium in Ahmedabad. India Meteorological Department IMD has forecast hot and humid weather today at places over coastal Andhra Pradesh, Gujarat and the North Konkan region. Similar weather conditions will prevail over these regions till Friday. IMD said that maximum temperatures over many parts of northwest India are likely to be above normal by 4 to 6 degrees Celsius during the week. According to Met Department, central India is likely to experience a gradual rise in maximum temperatures by 2 to 3 degrees Celsius during the next 2-3 days. And now for a look at today's newspapers, it's over to Shagun Chopra.
Thank you, Saira. On account of Holi, newspaper weren't published today. However, here is a compilation of the latest news from the websites of different newspapers. On latest developments in Iran, The Times of India writes, Iran conflict, Senate blocks bid to curb Trump's war powers. Saudi intercepts 3 missiles. Airstrike hits Hezbollah's Beirut stronghold after Israel warning, writes The Hindu, while The Pioneer writes, Putin speaks to Saudi Crown Prince on West Asia situation. 275 seats, 18.9 million voters, and a future at stake in Nepal's first elections after Gen Z uprising, headlines Hindustan Times. On the home turf, The Hindu reports, Tamil Nadu Assembly election, DMK and Congress finally sealed pact for 28 seats, one Rajya Sabha berth. And finally, we are living in an age that celebrates being busy as if it were a badge of honor. The most common answer to how are you is no longer I'm well, but I'm busy. To be occupied every hour of the day is seen as proof of importance. The statesman writes, when rest provokes guilt and leisure is monetized. The cultural cost of this mindset is heavy. Relationships begin to suffer. The simple joy of sitting together without purpose starts to feel inefficient. Yet, it is precisely these purposeless moments that build intimacy and trust. The true strength of a society is not measured only by economic output, but by the quality of its inner life. And with that, it's back to you, Saira.
Thanks, Shagun. And now before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Prime Minister Narendra Modi to hold talks with Finland's President Alexander Stubb in New Delhi this morning. Filing of nominations for 37 Rajya Sabha seats across 10 states to end today. Polling begins in Nepal to elect a new parliament. US Senate backs President Donald Trump's military campaign against Iran. Raisina Dialogue to commence today in New Delhi. And in ICC Men's T20 World Cup, India to take on England in second semi-final in Mumbai this evening. For details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and News on AIR app. And with that, we end the morning news. Have a great day.